Okay, the topic we're going to talk about is about free energy. Our guest today is Dr. Brian O'Leary. Dr. O'Leary is a former NASA astronaut and a PhD in astrophysics from Berkeley University. And he had taught at a number of universities in the United States, including Cornell and Princeton. And he has also worked as an establishment scientist, so-called, you know, and published extensively for many years. And then Dr. Brian O'Leary became interested in the other phenomenon, other dimensions of reality. And he has been an avid researcher in free energy, UFO phenomenon, and written a number of books documenting his journey into the field of paranormal phenomenon. Now, his most recent book is The Energy Solution Revolution. And he is speaking with us from Vicabambang, Ecuador, where I visited him last week. Dr. Brian O'Leary, first, thank you for coming on air with us and talk with the Better Hong Kong Radio. Now, as you know, I received a link, you know, from the internet about your talk in Spain, in the Barcelona conference, you know, where you talk about free energy, and that's how it got me interested, you know, to come and meet up with you. You know, I actually sent out the link to a number of our supporters and listeners, you know, and I have a chance to kind of subsequently converse with them, and I sort of asked them, you know, how many of you have watched the, you know, this particular very interesting talk on the free energy, and surprisingly, you know, the answer I get back is that not many of them are really, you know, have watched that, you know. And of course, the reason given is that, well, they don't really know much about this, and we didn't have much of an introduction on this. So it looks like, you know, somehow people are not very interested in free energy, or really do not understand the significance, you know, of the free energy solution, or some of them are even not aware of this, you know. Now, from your experience, you know, Brian, you know, what has been your experience when you come, you know, when you talk to people about free energy in your many many public lectures?
Well, yes. Hello, Alexander and
James.
Yes, it's a very complex question, and I think you really have hit the nub of the problem, mm-hmm. if you will. It's a big problem, which is it's a question of new paradigms, whole new contexts of reality that we're talking about here. It takes everyone, just about everybody, quite a bit of time to begin to understand the enormity of the potential of this new technology, which has actually been with us for a long time, at least ever since the time of Nikola Tesla. But it even goes back further, like to the time of Michael Faraday in England, where Faraday discovered in the 1800s that anomalous or unusual energy came off of a wheel with magnets on it that was spun up. And somehow or other, he hypothesized that energy came from the vacuum of space, that, in other words, all of time and space contains an enormous potential energy field. And this is something that I hadn't realized as a mainstream physicist, and at this point now, almost every physicist doesn't realize it either. And so it takes some time and understanding to provide the proper context of what we're talking about here, that we're talking about principles of physics that are derived from quantum mechanics, quantum theory, which are very real and can be used practically if only we go ahead and do it. However, what's been going on since the time of Nikola Tesla 100 years ago is that people have tried to develop this and have been suppressed. In other words, there are many proofs of concept out there. There are many inventors and researchers all over the world who have developed devices that you can see for yourself that produce this unusual, huge amount of breakthrough and apparently clean energy. But it hasn't been developed because the powers that be, the energy industry, the banking cartels, and so forth, don't want it to happen because it threatens their own vested interest. And we're talking about a whole new economy that would supplant, that would overtake the multi-trillion dollar oil and coal industries, which are now dominant in our culture worldwide.
Now, Tesla, you know, I mean, not... can you enlighten us on this? You know, what happened 100 years ago with Nikola Tesla? And what did he do?
Well, Nikola Tesla was a brilliant genius who actually invented alternating current, which somewhat ironically is now what we use in our electrical systems, in our grid systems all over the world, and which created this huge industry in which we have these large central station power plants, and the energy goes over wires over great distances to provide electricity for people. Tesla invented that, but he also invented energy systems which basically take the energy out of the air, out of the vacuum of space, using various electronic devices that are not understood in modern times by electrical engineers because they simply don't understand the basic principles which Tesla was able to experimentally demonstrate 100 years ago. Since then, there have been literally hundreds of inventors that have also produced energy from the vacuum of space and have used systems, a variety of systems to do that. Some of them are based on some of the Tesla technologies. Some of them involve magnetic motors, magnets on wheels that spin up and interact with this enormous potential energy field. Some people have developed solid-state devices that resonate with this field. These are all a number of different devices that have been shown in the laboratory to prove the concept that, yes, indeed, we can get energy very elegantly from the vacuum of space. And Tesla was one of the first to show that. And, of course, he was suppressed. His financier, J.P. Morgan, who was the banker, didn't want to fund Tesla's free energy work because Morgan owned all the copper mines, or almost all of them, and that was used in grid systems in this electricity technology we now have, which is very, very crude and outmoded. Anyway, Morgan did not fund Tesla's free energy work, and Tesla in his later years was basically suppressed and unhappy, and this, of course, has been the story of just about every inventor since his time. It's just an idea whose time hasn't come yet because of all of the suppression that's been going on. In other words, we made a choice. Humanity made a choice about 100 years ago to go in a very crude direction in developing our systems for generating electricity.
Now, I know you personally have actually traveled to different countries and actually visited many of these scientists and inventors working on different types of potential free energy devices. You know, can you kind of tell us some of the, you know, some of the devices that you personally think is the most promising and you're most impressed by it?
Yes, there are a number of different technologies. The challenge here is to be able to find a way of electromagnetically interacting with this enormous potential energy field, which is everywhere in time and space. And so I took a world tour about 10 years ago. I visited Dr. Paramahamsa Tiwari in India. He had a magnetic wheel, a magnetic motor, which when you spin it up and unplug it, it becomes a free energy, a free running electrical generator.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw him make some demonstrations. I visited Dr. Shuji Inamata in Japan, who also had one of these devices. And then I also visited various researchers in the U.S., in Europe. For example, Floyd or Sparky Sweet, who had a solid-state device. Mr. John Hutchison from Canada, who has a crystal which is tuned to the energy field that exists everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
These are all examples that are very promising of the so-called zero-point energy field, or the energy field of the vacuum of space. Now, there are other concepts as well. For example, there are special fuels that are based on hydrogen, special forms of hydrogen and water. For example, there's a device or a plasma tube that's being generated by Dr. Randall Mills in the U.S. And then there are various so-called cold fusion devices. These are special electrochemical systems in which energy can be sent into it, and it's a special catalyst, palladium catalyst, that can cause the fusion of hydrogen atoms within water to fuse, to release energy and form helium. So these are all different concepts that have been widely researched and widely demonstrated, but not yet commercialized yet, because when people start to develop prototypes for use, for practical use, then what usually happens is that these inventors are threatened, some of them are assassinated. It becomes a very, very difficult situation, because the powers that be, the people that are basically running the world, don't want this to happen because it threatens their own profits. And so we now find ourselves in a very perilous situation. I know you in China have serious problems with needing more and more fossil fuels to generate electricity, to run your transportation systems and your heating and cooling systems that are mostly based on fossil fuels or on hydrocarbons.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a big problem like with coal, and burning coal is a very, very polluting, global warming ingredient, which is loading the atmosphere with carbon dioxide. This is a very poor alternative to what could be. And so what I'm saying now is that if we can open our minds to even the possibility that these new technologies could change the entire energy picture of the world, and that we no longer have to pollute the atmosphere the way we are, then we have a chance to create a sustainable future for humankind. And this, for me, was, I'm about 70 years old now, and it's taken me many years of proving to myself that these things are possible. And so now my job is to alert the world to say, well, okay, let's have a much better look at this possibility. Even if we don't believe it at first, it's worth pursuing, because we need to leave no stone unturned in our quest for clean energy for the future of humanity.
Now, you've written at least 5 books, you know, about your journey, you know, visiting all these people who've sort of special psychic ability to do things that we normally couldn't quite really understand. Now, among those scientists, like this engineering working for the government, actually working for a government organization in India, and also the scientists in Japan, and also happen to be working for the government, organization. Now, what has happened? You visited them almost 10 years ago, right? So it's been quite some time now. Do you know what is the recent status of the development? When I talk to friends about this, and they say maybe in India they're already developing something underhandedly, and they just don't want the world to know that they are doing it. What do you think is happening, and what is the latest with some of the people you visited, like these people actually working for the government organization?
Well, that's a good question, Alexander. Yeah. And 10 years ago, when I visited these people, they were simply working with research devices. And sometimes, it takes a lot of money, time, and effort, and engineering to go from a research device to something that's practical, that can actually be used. And so that gap seems to not have been filled yet. Unless, as you say, it's being done very quietly.
Right.
To the best of my knowledge, I don't know of any such effort. Of course, because it's quiet, it's probably the reason why I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But my guess is that it would take an effort of, let's say, roughly $100 million, which isn't really that much, but it's still... Would be a somewhat visible effort, which would be immediately noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So we're caught in what we call a conundrum,
uh-huh.
a problem. Where the problem is that as soon as we get to the actual development, then the powers that be come in and they stop it. And there are many such case studies of suppression. There have been many murders of people that have been on the cutting edge of this technology. And so it took me several years in going case by case and visiting some of these devices to be able to begin to understand why is it that we don't have it yet if we have the know-how? And I think the answer to that is simply that choices have been made by very powerful people not to do that. And let's say we were to do it nevertheless, and somehow India or maybe China or some government could move ahead and do this, then the question comes up, well, let's make sure we use this for human benefit and not to make weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very, very important to me. I'm basically a pacifist myself. I believe very, very much in peaceful existence of humanity. And right now, I think that the nations of the world are too much thinking about war and not enough about peace. So as soon as we start to look at the free energy technologies and their potential, it also forces the question of, well, how can we create social and political systems that can create harmony in the world, that can create peace and the sustainability that we really want to have, and be able to get through this very difficult period in our history.
Now, I over the years, when I was looking into this free energy matter, I communicated this with a friend who has a degree in engineering physics. Every time we talk about it, we always wind up, having big argument. And basically, he said it's not possible. Then I will send him a link to investigate it, and he always come back. It's not true. It cannot be done. And then in the end, he said, well, theoretically, he said it's not possible, right? I mean, we all know the conservation of energy and all the basic laws of physics. So from and all the thermodynamics, and I mean, for people with that kind of background, they will always feel that it is not a possible a phenomenon. But then he also said that, you know, this a lot of people will probably feel that way too. You know, if free energy, you know, is potentially so powerful, and there should be a lot of money in it, you know, I mean, we are talking about, you know, a substitute for all the different other form of energy resources. Now, there will be so much money, there should be no problem seeking financial backup and investors.
Well, that's a very complex question, Alexander. Mm-hmm. There are many facets to that question.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, and what's happening now is my voice is coming back on me here in the connection. But I'll try to answer that as best that I can. The first of all, the point is that we talk about the physics of this. The so-called laws of thermodynamics are not laws, they're theories. And they apply only to closed systems that are in equilibrium. And those are conditions that normally prevail that we understand here on the Earth. And what happens, however, is that in quantum physics, when we deal with so-called particles and waves, Those so-called theories or laws, they're not really laws, no longer apply. So there are exceptions, and thermodynamics does not apply to a range of conditions that can be created through some of the interactions we're talking about in getting the free energy out of the vacuum. Chaos theory is an example of the violation of the so-called principles of thermodynamics. The systems that we are talking about here are larger than just the limited conditions of thermodynamic systems. So we have to get that out of our mind and be open to the possibility that, yes, we are dealing with quantum phenomena. And quantum theory actually dictates that the so-called free energy potential field does exist. And so several people have worked this out. People like theoretical physicist Hal Puthoff, who has published a number of papers on this, Bernard Heisch, and then, of course, there's the work of Tom Bearden, and others that make it very understandable from a physicist's point of view that indeed these principles are possible, that we're dealing with getting energy from a higher or an alternative dimension of reality that is being interacted with electromagnetically. So these scientific principles can be understood through some study. And meanwhile, I would invite the public to simply be open to the possibility that these energy sources do exist in principle and could be used practically, and that anybody that has the time and energy to visit the laboratories of some of these people will find out for themselves that it's experimentally possible and also theoretically reasonable, so that these blocks, you see what we're dealing with here is a psychological phenomenon of denial, the denial of a possibility that is not normally encountered. And the scientific community is famous for its conservative bias. It's bias against possibilities that go beyond their normal understanding. I had that problem myself when I was at Princeton, and I had to leave Princeton because I started to have experiences and do experiments that were not accepted by the mainstream scientific community. So if we get beyond that block, the scientific block, then we can go on to other possibilities. Then we can start to look at, well, why isn't anybody investing in this? And the answer is that, first of all, in venture capitalism, people generally don't like to invest in something that is not developed enough. In other words, you're caught in a, we call it chicken and the egg problem. In other words, what comes first, mm-hmm. the chicken or the egg? If you put money into free energy, you'd like to get results within a certain amount of time. And because what we're dealing with now is we don't know which technology will prevail. It's sort of like asking the Wright brothers, who flew the first airplane, to start to build a practical airplane, delivering passengers or mail or bombs or whatever application is envisioned. Well, we're not there yet, and so there is a kind of a hesitancy there. But also, just as importantly, that when people do start to fund these efforts, and they don't get delivery of the product because the inventor is overly optimistic sometimes, there is also suppression. People come in who represent black operations from the U.S. government or some other governments, or representing the large banking cartels or the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them. They don't want this to happen. So okay. They've been stopping these things.
Okay, let's take a few minutes break. You know, we'll be back right away.